He's fast as shit.
He's as fast as McDavid. And Miles cutting in, shoots, scores! They've slayed the Dragon! Alex Burrows, 5:22 into overtime! Game 7 goes to Vancouver!
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to Puck and Flamingo Presents Offside Thoughts, because that's what we have. You'll find out in the blooper reel after.
Yeah, stick around for that, guys.
Yeah, that was a good teaser. It's like a 30-minute blooper reel tonight, guys. We've been talking and then realized we have to do a podcast here. So
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe we should start this shit.
Yeah, exactly. So we've already kind of talked about how we're doing, but Zach, do you want to tell the people just quickly how things are for you?
Sure. Yeah. I'm on the road right now, in beautiful Fox Creek. We call it Fox Vegas in Alberta here, fairly far north. It's basically just an oil field town. There's a little skid mark on the side of the highway. We've got an A&W, a Tim Hortons, a Subway, and then I can't even remember what this restaurant is called. It's a little pub, but anyway, yeah, there's not much going on here. It's expensive. Everything, like, you know, you want to get a 12 pack of water, it's like $30. But they know they can rake it in, right? It's all just oil field workers through here. So it's a time and a half. I'm in a hotel room. Hopefully the internet holds up, but I'm not very confident in it, but, yeah, so not much else to tell. I'm on the road right now.
Everyone in your crew is at the strippers and you're in here talking to us.
Pretty much. I actually did ditch out early from the bar tonight. And I said, hey guys, I gotta go FaceTime the family, because that's less embarrassing than telling them that I'm recording a hockey podcast in the middle of the off season. So here I am now.
That's bad, man. Oh yeah, I gotta go home with the family. It's better than telling them doing a hockey podcast in August.
In the off season.
Like, that's literally what you get chirped for in the hope as we're going talking to your family, because that's such a bad thing for people to do, apparently.
I did, in fairness, talk to my family and send them a video too, but yeah.
Oh, just make sure you weren't lying.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's exactly it.
Nice. Hey, I don't blame you. Bartel, you said you had big news for us today, Bartel.
I had eventful news, I said. I didn't really say, I don't know if it's big news, but it's definitely eventful. For those who know, when the podcast released last week, it was my birthday, so I wasn't planning on doing anything, but I was here with my roommate, and he had a coworker, and they're having like a little camp out type thing. And he's like, you want to come? I was like, oh yeah, sure, whatever. So I tag along, and we get there, and the guy that we both mutually know pulls out a bottle of 40-pounder of the Kirkland liquor, right, that you get over there. So the Grey Goose, right? So yeah, it got a little sloppy from there. I was passing out the truck right home, and then I was like, well, I gotta keep it going. So we ended up hanging with a buddy, and then we went to the bar for a bit and kind of hung out. I was talking to these two girls off of Tinder. One worked at the top bar, one worked at the bottom. It was the first time I met them. So
can we pause for 1 second too?
Go ahead,
let's say that this is like a travel advertisement for Prince George. Like, this is like, come visit Prince George. Listen to all that we have to offer.
I also want to know, Bartel, what birthday was this? How old did you turn?
Thank God there's no female listeners. So I turned 33.
Okay. Go ahead. Finish your story.
But yeah, so long story short, we kind of had there. I sobered up a bit. But we got there and
kind of sobered up a bit from your 40-pounder of Kirkland vodka.
I didn't slam. No, I just took a couple like swigs. I got a little. I didn't slam. It wasn't mine.
I get it, Bartel.
But you know, I had a pretty couple of solid drinks. He let me have it, and you know, maybe it was less than a Mickey. But you know, I haven't drank in a long time. I've been training, you know, trying to be healthier, and my tolerance obviously has dropped. So anyways, so we ended up at the bar. It's dead. It's a decent club, like two floors, like I was saying, and talk to these two girls. So I was making my way back up, going to the top one, going to the bottom one, kind of doing whatever, right? And it's funny because the bar over here is open till 3, which is weird and random. Yeah, I thought that was only a Vancouver thing. I would actually like to know if anyone knows anywhere else in BC where clubs are open at 3, because I've never seen that. Anyways, so we get there, and long story short, basically I was with a buddy, and one of the bouncers, fucking little guys too, like fucking 5'9", 140 pounds, soaking wet, right? So I actually asked them if they need a bouncer. Like earlier, I was talking to the manager. I was like, you guys need a bouncer? Like, oh, we pay $18. I told him to go fuck himself. So I was like, anyone with a bouncer for $18, get your head out of your ass. But anyways, bouncer later on, in my suspicion, he liked one of the girls I was talking to. Because it was always kind of staring, whatever, and he would come over and talk to her after, and I saw all this shit, right? So he comes up to me after we take a couple shots, and he says, oh, you're too drunk now, you gotta leave. I go, excuse me? Like, what? Why? Like, well, I pay all my bills, I haven't puked, I haven't done anything, I haven't started a fight, I haven't done shit. Why are you kicking me out? Oh, you've been drinking too much. It's like half an hour before the bar, right? Like, forecloses. So anyways, I wasn't taking too lightly to this, and I guess when I was confronting this bouncer, two other guys came, and one of them grabbed me by my arm here. I don't know if you guys can see, but I got like bruises all up in my arm here. And the other guy grabbed me. I was like, what the fuck, right?
Huh? You drew those on. Big deal. Oh,
yeah.
It's
makeup. Yeah, you guys see it? You guys see it? It's right here, guys. Oh, shit. I rubbed it off. Anyways, so I had two guys, and they grabbed me. I wasn't fucking down with that. So I was like, listen, like, if you want me to fucking leave, I'll leave, but don't fucking touch me. And I kind of like shove them off of me, right? Well, as soon as I go like that, bang, one of my fucking nose, which is, if you guys can see, it's a little fucking crooked there, right up in there, but fuck, I wasn't too happy about that, so fucking anyways, it's 3-1, and end up outside, and yeah, I got a little sloppy after that, and yeah, I mean, my roommate wasn't probably too happy with me, but yeah, that was my Saturday night. I spent all Sunday in bed, and most of Monday, so.
I thought you said you had, like, I thought in the chat group you said you had exciting news and you got in a fight. Or was the news that you got in a fight?
No, crap. Maybe it was. Maybe that's what I said. Do I have it?
Were you still?
Maybe I lost track of my exciting news. Shit.
Well, wasn't there exciting news when you woke up, or what was the deal here? Do people have to wait till the blooper reel? Like,
yeah, we can save that one for the blooper. You guys want to know what happened after?
Listen to the whole podcast.
Listen to the whole podcast. Go back, and then I'll explain the story of why my roommate hates me.
Unreal.
So that was your infomercial. Welcome to Prince George. Enjoy your stay. Get in a fight.
Hey, we have the Canucks prospect goaltender. Yeah. We put that on our billboard there. We have PG Man. For those who don't know, we have a giant, like, wooden Pinocchio that's like 60 feet high that welcomes you into Prince George. I highly suggest you guys all look up PG Man and laugh at Prince George for that.
I love it. I've been to Prince George a fair bit. Like, the city's interesting.
You've seen what I'm talking about then, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Wait until in the middle of summer when those pulp mills get rolling up and the wind sucks it all into that bowl there. It's a nice smell.
It happens to Kamloops too. There's a camphor right across the river there. You get it. So I'm kind of used to it. You have your bad days and your good days. It's not, I thought it would be a constant. Everyone's like, oh, it smells so fucking bad. Yeah, it smells bad when you get a bad wind drift, right? Like, it's pretty far away from town. If it's super hot and, like you say, and you get a nasty wind, it does suck. And don't get me wrong, it's not something that you want to smell, but it's not consistent.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm just bugging you.
I know.
He's trying to rub in that you live in a shithole. That's all.
Says the guy in Fox Creek. Like,
yeah, I'm in Fox Creek.
You live there half the month, bro. You live there half the month.
So. I know.
You live there more a month than you do at your house.
I know. So that's why I've got to rub it into other people, too. That's why I got to rub it into other people too.
Make you feel better.
Do we have any hockey or any sports tonight?
Fucking last week of me doing a bunch of research and us not talking about any of it, I didn't do any research this week.
Oh, sweet. Well, we could roll right into the Canucks again, because that's actually where we left off last week.
That was the plan.
I think so, right?
Yeah, just Canucks hockey, and then I don't know what we're gonna talk about next week, boys. But we'll figure something out.
Guess we gotta go to the bar again, boys.
Yeah, even me and Bron were talking when you were having technical difficulties there, or me and Steve were. But I mean, there is a lot of F1 stuff too. If anybody wants to hear about that, I mean, there is other stuff to talk about too. But
lots of sports shit going around. Yeah, I mean, anything really, anything that little sparks our interest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know what I mean. Yeah, but
yeah, no, I was joking. I just mean like hockey news will be done after this week.
I do want to talk about the draft. I think we're missing on something very, very important with the whole, you know, Shane Wright dropping to fourth. I think that's a pretty big topic.
One Bartel. Right?
I mean, from my understanding, that guy was like the number one ranked player for the last 3 years in his draft division. You know what I mean? But anyways.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting.
Yeah. Go on, Bartel. What do you think?
Oh, we're going to talk about it. Okay, cool.
Sure.
Awesome. So it's funny because we're driving back from Calgary or to Calgary. I was with my roommate, and he's a huge Montreal fan, right? So when I like, there's pictures of Wright being taking pictures of him in his Habs jersey at like 4 or 5 years old, kind of almost distant. I'm pretty sure they took a picture with a Montreal jersey with like two of the Montreal players, like young guys with them. And then Montreal not taking them. I understand why New Jersey didn't take him at second, because they're stacked down the center. But Arizona passing on him and picking up Logan Cooley, I know that's who they wanted, and maybe they just stuck to their guns and didn't expect them. I also heard, I don't know if you guys heard as well, with Shane Wright having some type of arrogancy problems. I don't know if you guys even
read into that at all.
Yeah, I heard that. And I think you saw it when he was like, if he was staring down the Canadians table.
But like... Is that arrogance, or is that like, that's something Michael Jordan would do? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like that just pissed him off a little bit, right? Yeah, like, does it all life?
We'll see if he's Michael Jordan, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not. Sorry, that's a bad comparison.
But, no, I know what you mean.
But you know what I mean, like, right?
Like, yeah, like
it might spark someone.
If he's as good as he thinks he is, then yeah, the stare down might
be something.
A good play.
If thank he's God not, they only then... play twice for Montreal State. They only play twice a year, so
yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it sucks for us having someone like that. If he does turn into be what he's supposed to be, I mean, that's supposed to be our new rivals. So I mean, it might make it a little bit interesting.
Yeah,
I also heard of crazy WHL trade talks with Connor Bedard.
Oh yeah,
yeah, going to Kamloops.
Really?
Yeah,
yeah, that'd be
Kamloops
exciting.
Has Memorial Cup for 2023. Bedard has missed the playoffs, even though putting up the most points ever from a guy who got exception in Simpson, wherever it is, when he gets to play younger, whatever, at 16 or 15. He put up the most points, but in his first years, he's the only one to not make the playoffs. So a lot of guys leaving, and him and Logan Stankoven have been like line mates for the juniors. There's good talk of maybe Stankoven, if he doesn't make Dallas, to come back down and have a dart play with them, which I mean would probably be 5 first round picks for the next X amount of years plus a couple prospects, but it'd be kind of cool to have them in our division, in the BC division.
Yeah, that's very cool. Get to see a lot of them here in Langley anyways, probably you in Prince George
and Red Deer.
Yeah.
Not so much Red Deer, but still.
I did still see him.
You still see him.
Probably more than you would if he was in where is he again?
He's in Saskatoon, right? Or Prince Albert or something like that. Some fucking,
who knows?
Some shitty team that doesn't make the playoffs, apparently.
It's way out there. Yeah. Way out there. I don't know about him being traded, but I definitely know he is going to lead the Team Canada roster at the World Juniors this August, I believe it is, right?
August 7th.
Yeah, so that's
August 7th to 20th.
That's right around the weirdest. Hey, guess we're going to talk about next week, boys. We got hockey.
I know this isn't like, we don't have to get deep into Team Canada, but do you feel like this year it's a little bit stained, or what do you figure with like all this like kind of the lawsuit news coming out about like Canada's World Junior program?
Oh, I haven't heard anything. Fill me in.
Ever heard about the sexual allegations from like 2013 and or 2018 and now 2013? Is it Zach?
I think it's 2007?
2007?
What? I think it might have been 2003.
Players raping girls.
Oh.
Supposedly. So I should clarify what I mean by this is that apparently there's a bunch of guys, like I can't remember. There's a couple of players that kind of came out that played on that team and kind of said it, but there's also those are the ones they're looking at. But basically that they, you know, kind of picked up a bunch of girls or X amount of girls, took them to a hotel and, you know, they whatever they want with them. Kind of forcefully is kind of what my understanding is. Maybe Zach has a little bit more insight on that.
Well, I don't know, because I didn't read into the exact, like, what the allegations were, but the one thing that really stood out to, I think, a lot of people, and it's been kind of making the headline news, to me, it's kind of the most disturbing part about it is the fact that they had a specific fund set aside for stuff like this, like kind of hush money that was set aside in a fund, and it's been funded for years. Like, that's more kind of the darker, like, systemic part of it to me, whereas, you know, if it was a one-off, yeah, that's horrible, but you can deal with that team, that generation, that specific group of players. But more, that was kind of the big thing that kind of, I think, leaves a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. Obviously for the victims, it'd be the worst, but the idea that there is a fund set aside to deal with stuff like this is, it's disturbing, right?
You mean a fund to deal with lawsuits?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, with lawsuits.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so I thought it was kind of like money, as in like.
Well, it is. It's to pay it off, right? So that it doesn't make it to court. So, but for, yeah, and that's obviously kind of the biggest part of the story. I don't want to get it dark here, but it is like, I don't know. I noticed. I just know for me anyway. It's kind of, I don't know. It's just it's a weird feeling. Yeah, it kind of feels like ugh, like, and
It's such a tough thing. Like, and that's the thing is like, how long do you go back and how long has it been going on for? Right. And then it's going to start to unravel.
That's the thing. Like, that's why to me, like if it's 1 year, if it's one team, like, yes, it's horrible, but it's like, okay, you've got this group of individuals, you can nail it down to roughly, you know, 23 roster players, plus the coaches, plus whoever's involved that year, you can pin it on those people. You can deal with it that way.
Like they did in Chicago.
Yeah. Like when it's a specific incident, that's one thing. But when that was revealed that they have a fund set aside to deal with things like that, it's like, holy shit, this is a lot bigger of a deal than just one team, one or a couple of bad apples. Like this is a different animal.
My only question, I guess, would be like, was it meant for sexual assault cases, or was it more meant for like, maybe they get into a fight outside or something, you know what I mean? And then try to hush people.
Yeah. Is it a player protection fund, or is it specifically a sexual?
Yeah. That would be interesting to look up. Like this is another thing, like even with the Chicago thing, where it's a story where you hear enough of the peripheral details that it's like, I don't know if I want to read all of the information, you know, like it's one of those things. So I don't know. I haven't read deeply into it, but I know that there is a fund set aside. It's something that I probably should have read into more, but it's just painted kind of the way I viewed some of it with this stuff. I don't know. I'm going to find it hard to, I am going to watch the World Juniors, but I am, because I love the hockey. I love the passion, but it does kind of taint things with that.
That sucks. I mean, It kind of does, actually, now that you kind of bring it in, at least for me, a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But like you said, it's still hockey. So, like, is that kind of just – and I'm not, like – how do I say this without sounding like a dick? Is that, you know, that's kind of how a lot of the attitude is. Well, it's hockey, right? Or, like, it's soccer or it's whatever. I'm still going to watch it. NFL, right? Like, whatever it is, I'm still gonna watch it. And that is that part of the problem, or is it just because I'm gonna still watch it too? Like, I'm judging you anyway, but because
99% of the players playing probably partake in it or condone it, right? Like,
so then is it fair to judge a future team that hasn't done anything yet, right? So
it's not. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I view it too, but I was just quickly looking up a couple of stats and where was this? Hockey Canada has had 21 sexual assault payouts since 1989. Oh, so, right? Like,
That's almost one a year for like the last 23 years.
Yeah, it's at least it's two every 3 years.
Yeah.
Two every 3 years. Like, but yeah, I mean, but again, like, I kind of share that same view. It's like, well, that's not, you know, that doesn't mean that this year's the 2022 team has anything to do with it. Mm-hmm. It's just, but it's something that, you know, as horrible as it is, like, at least now, you know, it's kind of getting the spotlight shone on it, and it's going to be dealt with. It's just, it just sucks, right? Because looking back, it's like, oh, like, you're thinking about all these teams that have won, and you're like, ugh, has anything happened there? And anyway,
yeah,
it kind of took it a dark spin there. I didn't mean to, but it's,
well, yeah. We can kind of keep on the same topic and spin it to a little bit better direction, I guess. Jake Virtanen, he got, he went through, and obviously, from what I read, is that he pissed himself. That's how drunk he was. He claimed so in court, I believe. But obviously, that's off. So, without getting to too much, like, does that change the effect that you guys have on Jake Virtanen being our team? Obviously, he had some work ethic problems. But I know that was kind of like the icing on the cake for him, right? Like, they didn't want to deal with him. Boom. Okay, he has his allegations. Kick him out. And just not deal with it.
I think that was an easy decision, yeah. I think it was almost like a get-out-of-jail-free card for the Canucks.
Like, oh, as bad as that sounds. A free out.
But, yeah, they're like, okay, well, this guy's breached his contract, so...
Mm-hmm.
Right. I don't specifically mean his crime, right? I'm not talking about his crime, but any breach of contract was like a blessing in disguise for the Canucks, and they just parted ways.
And I know he got caught without masks and celebrities or whatever clubs too, right? And when the peak of the pandemic was on or whatever, but yeah, let's move off of off rape.
Jeez.
You're a wordsmith, Steve. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's anyways, you're right. Let's try not paint the whole canvas with the same brush, but at the same time, we should still talk about it because it is a serious thing. And the more people talk about it, the more hopefully it gets dealt with, and the more hopefully people realize what is right and what is not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the biggest thing with life, man.
Moving forward. Yeah. Well, sorry, moving forward with like the issue.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, no, and, exactly.
And moving forward with the discussion.
nice segue.
Yeah, let's roll right into Canucks. Other than Jake Virtanen, let's talk about some good news. So
actual Canucks players.
Where do you guys want to start? Like, there's a lot we can talk
about. I want to start with the hype train.
The Russian invasion. Like... The Russian invasion, and I'm not talking about Ukraine. I'm talking about the Canucks roster. Like, holy cow. They've got so many Russians coming in there.
Too
like,
soon.
No. It's been going on for like 6 months now. But yeah, like, it's wild how much of the Canucks roster has now, I don't know, just been influenced by like all these Russian players coming in. It's kind of cool. I think at first I thought maybe it was building up a little bit of insulation for Pod Colson, you know, in his development, but now, like, I don't know. I mean, I like the quality players coming in with Mikheyev and Kuzmenko, and like, there's a lot of, just a lot of excitement around the team, but it's just interesting to all of a sudden see all of this coming in at once, because when they first started, when they brought in Kuzmenko and, you know, a couple of these other guys, I thought, okay, this is going to help Pod Colson's development, and that's what this is for.
Yeah.
But then it just kept happening, so it was just kind of funny. It's noticeable, right?
Yeah,
well, 100%, right? And I thought the same thing. I was like, okay, we kind of won on the Kmetsov sweepstakes, right? Like, we weren't 100% going to get. I knew we were a top three team or whoever you're talking to. I know Benning, I think Andrew talked to it or alluded to it earlier, maybe last time, or maybe it was even off air, about Benning making an effort, not Benning, Boudreaux making an effort, driving like 5 hours to go see him, all that stuff, and it actually really affected his decision, knowing how much it cared, right? So I thought Kmetsov was strictly for Pod Colson, a 1 year, have him over here, maybe help him out a bit. But I mean, Mikheyev, I'm pumped on. I don't think that was just a Russian to bring in. I think having a Russian helps, especially a guy that's a little bit older. But I think he's a huge pickup. I think he's a steal.
Yeah, I think so too. He's going to add a lot of speed to the lineup. Yeah. Oh,
he's as fast as McDavid, man. I saw him skate. No, there's literally a clip when him and McDavid were toe to toe and McDavid couldn't pass him. What are you laughing at?
Sorry, just because Zach smiled. Like, I believe you, Steve. I believe you.
I smiled. See, it's a chain reaction. I smiled because Steve goes, he's as fast as McDavid. And then Braun just, I hear that. Like this is a snicker, and then I'm like, oh, this is all.
Yes, he's staying skeptic this set with McDavid, man.
Yeah, I believe Berto. I won't put that past you because I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
Look it up for those who don't. There's a good little clip of it. So
that's funny.
He's fast as shit.
Yeah, let's. That's such a weird saying.
Can you clip that as I know how you always put like a little thing in before the episode. He's fast as shit, and then just roll right into the intro.
I can do that. Yeah, we'll do that this time. Yeah. The pre-roll. Right before our 30-minute
bullshit.
So Kuzmenko, played in St. Petersburg, KHL, 45 games played last season, 20 goals, 33 assists, 53 points, 45.
What was his ice time? I think it was pretty low. I think it was like 9 minutes, right?
I'm not sure. I don't see that stat here. No.
Because I know in the KHL, they really punish younger players.
But he's not that young.
They punish everybody.
He's 26 though. Like he does have a bit of experience.
Is he 26?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
1996. And
ouch.
I know. So old. That hurts, doesn't it, Bartel? I know. I was playing FIFA yesterday or the other day, and I just created my own player. And
you're retiring in your rookie year?
Yeah. No, to be the youngest player, like to enter the league, you have to have been born in 2004.
I graduate 3 years later.
That's this year's draft year, isn't it? Is 2004?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh, 17 going 18. Yeah,
that's just insane.
Geez. So
yeah, you gotta stop getting into fights, Bartel.
Yeah. Long time ago, Matt.
Bro,
Bartel, I'm all for you fighting inside the ring. I'm all for sport.
But well, like, that's what I'm fucking doing. Yeah.
I've told
Don't
you.
Tell
I've
me
told
what
you,
the fuck to do.
Bartel, I've been telling you this for 20 years.
I've been telling you.
Calm down.
Tell me what the fuck to do.
I'm just bugging you. I just had to.
Well, I tell you. Not you guys. I'm talking about other people who are starting my shit. I'm not talking about you guys.
Oh, you said that to me my whole life, Bartel.
It's true, but I never punched you.
That's true. I've always said that. I said that to Julie when we first met. I was like, wait till you meet Steve. He's great. He's super aggressive, but he's really nice and like inside. I was like, for the last like 20 years, he's always been like, shut the fuck up, Brian. I'll punch you in the face. He's never hit me.
Well, to be fair, Brian, me and Brian, he fucked around me a lot and used to call me some names Bartle. I didn't like. Yeah.
I don't know why I don't like that. I thought
it
was
wasn't a bad name. It wasn't anything derogatory. Yeah. It just for some reason pissed me off. Yeah. I don't know. And then there's like a company called Bartle and Gibson. So it's like,
oh really?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, but you used to call me Bartle.
Yeah, I just thought it was a good nickname. I give that everyone has nicknames.
No, you liked it because it pissed me off. Yeah. That's why you fucking liked it.
It's not true. It ran off the tongue.
100%.
Okay. Anyways, sorry. I'll reel that one in. Sorry about the Bartle. I haven't called it.
I'm just bugging you.
My nickname is Dipshit on site, so I don't care.
Yeah. I'd rather be a nickname that everyone else has too.
That's true. It's just kind of a colloquial one for our whole crew.
I just imagine Barker right now howling at this party. He's howling.
Quick little short story. We went sturgeon fishing 2 years ago, and it was supposed to rain in the morning or whatever. So I had my my yellow rain gear, right? Pants, right? All that shit, right? And I was really in the first one. I had my rain gear on, and the guy leading the boat kind of chirped me and called me Big Bird. And I was like halfway reeling this fish in. I was like,
what? I threw some bows and fought the guy. Yeah,
so I threw him off the guy.
Lost it out of control. Snap, overreact. Everything champ.
That's so good.
Okay. Kuzmenko, we don't know his ice time. That's where we were. But only
fucking old podcast with that.
only 12. That was the playoffs. Even in the regular season, wow, he had more pims. Oh, that's good. It means he fought hard. So in the playoffs, I'm looking at, he had 12 pims. Regular season, only 10. So 12 pims in 16 games in the playoffs and 10 in 45. So he's disciplined. That's good.
KHL's bigger ice, though. Am I correct, or is that wrong?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. I think they play on Olympic ice as well.
Yeah. So we'll see how he does. There's no, obviously, there's no guarantee to what he'll be able to accomplish in North America. But like you say, he's already got a bit of experience. He should be right in his prime. At 26 years old, you know, he's got a good 2-3 years left in him, or four maybe.
That's a good age to bring over too, because like we've talked about even last episode in how like this year's crop of draft picks will fit into the core, just because we're kind of at the point where we're trying to instate that core and build around it, as opposed to necessarily add to it like young guys. So I like that age. Like I think that's a big thing moving forward now, is we're kind of gearing towards building up this team to win, as opposed to continue to build for the future. Like, not saying that we shouldn't be stockpiling and, you know, picking up good prospects, but I don't think it's going to be the focus moving forward for the next 3 to 4 years. And I'm kind of happy to see the age group that they're picking up, you know, between Mikheyev and Kuzmenko and a couple of these other, like Lazar, like these players aren't young guys, right? They aren't kind of those shot in the darks that kind of you hope that they're going to turn out. It's like, no, you have a proven commodity. These guys are going to bring A, B, and C to your team, and that's how we're going to add to it. Like I'm liking the direction that they're going, and more trying to build around what they have rather than kind of just hoping on a prayer.
That's fair. So again, you're looking at a window that they're banking on in the next 3 years probably. Kuzmenko's was a one-year deal. What did Mikheyev sign? Does anybody know?
Four or five year at 4.75.
Okay, he's 27.
Yeah. And then Kuzmenko will probably, he gets under a mil, I think, 950.
Yeah, it's a 1 year entry level.
Yeah.
So
I really,
depending on what he does, could be due for a big big payout next year. If we can afford him, if we can keep him, I guess we'll see what happens. If he gets on in the team, you might take a bit of a discount. We'll see.
So what do you guys think here, hypothetically? If he gets on a roll, lights it up, maybe we're a borderline playoff team. Do we trade him? Like for prospects or something?
Zach, should we weigh in on – oh, sorry, your question is do we trade him?
Because we only have him for 1 year, right? If he plays well – and he lights it up, say he's got like 30 goals or 25 goals by trade deadline, and we're still a floater team, because we might not be able to resign him, you might want $4 or $5 million, kind of like a Kaprizov type deal. But obviously, hopefully he's as good as Kaprizov, but I don't know if he will be. But then we can try to get rid of him and probably pick up maybe some prospects. Or I don't know what you guys think his worth would actually be as well.
No, I mean, if he's producing like that in essentially his rookie NHL year, I wouldn't be trading him if he's developing any kind of chemistry. Like I think our big deal this year is obviously going to be JT Miller. There's a lot of questions surrounding that, but if you can pick up a winger in Kuzmenko who's all of a sudden supplanting what Miller was providing, and he's going to be at a lesser cap value than JT Miller will be, I don't think you're going to be trading him. You're going to be looking at signing him long term and then moving JT Miller if the prospect of signing him is out the window. This is obviously if we're not quite there as a playoff team, or we're not looking like we could compete. If we're competing, if we're at the top of the Pacific or whatever, it's a different story. Even you roll the dice at that point, right? If you've got a winning roster. But Kuzmenko, no, if he's providing 30 goals, I mean, he's going to be basically viewed as Miller's replacement for offensive output, right? So I can't see that taking place. But the JT Miller situation is kind of fascinating to me. And I know that you had kind of hinted at it last week, Steve. You had an opinion on what was going to happen moving forward with him. I don't know if we ever got into it, but that was one thing. If we're talking Canucks this week, I'd like to dig into the JT Miller situation.
Go ahead.
Yeah. From what I From what I heard, I pulled out, I don't have it written down anymore, but I have a quote from Patrick Alvin saying that we're happy with JT Miller. We're not in a rush to move him. If he does get moved, he gets moved, but we're happy as clams, basically, to have him. It's kind of a basic blanket statement, obviously, but I feel like if they were trying to move him, they would be a little bit more aggressive with it and a little bit more out there. I feel like they're happy to kind of see where things are going to go with them next year and see how this team does, at least for the first third of the year. You know what I mean? Kind of see what Bruce can do at the beginning of the year. Because we got to understand, right? If they got enough a hot start early, we would be in the playoffs last year, right? So, and with the addition of Lazar, I think that's huge too. Like, we have a really good team on paper next year. Our defense needs a little help, but on paper, we're pretty stacked.
Yeah, we'll get into roster after JT talk. Zach, yeah. Go ahead. I'll go last.
I mean, I don't really have a big opinion on it, to be honest. I'm kind of curious seeing how it plays out. Like, me personally, I would love to see Miller signed long term. To me, like, the only issue is his age, right? Like, it's not like he's old, but he's not a young guy anymore. Like, he's what, 29, I think. Yeah, so
he is.
For him, I mean, and you're looking at probably an 8-year extension if he's signing with the Canucks, right? Like, that's what he's going to want to do, is close out his career, cash in big at the end. And if you're doing that, like, I mean, it's tough to me, because I could justify seeing him signed in at a 7.75 to even an 8 AAV. Like, if you hand him a check for, I don't know, 8 years and $72 million, like, well, that'd be $9 million. So even if you give him like 8 years and $65 million, you had him a $65 million check and be like, look, we love you here. Like, we're trying to fit you in. Like, that would be in an ideal situation, what I would say, but I don't know. Like, I don't see it happening, but if you can extend to 8 years, I would hope that the AAV could get pushed down a little bit, even if it's, yeah, 8 times 8 at $64 million. That'd be something I'd be comfortable with, but it doesn't sound like that's what he'd be looking for. He's looking for probably north of 9. And if we're going to sign long-term, I wouldn't be comfortable paying a 37-year-old JT Miller $9.5 million in that closing year, even though, you know, most contracts now at that age point are kind of, they're designed to be bought out. But I don't know. To me, it's about numbers. And yeah, I love JT Miller, but not at the expense of kind of handicapping those peripheral players that we could add.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've read a couple articles now that have mentioned, you know, where the Canucks too slow on the trade. Like, the trade market for JT Miller was hot at trade deadline. Or sorry, mm-hmm. Not a trade deadline, draft day. By the sounds of it, according to a few insiders, it's kind of slowed down when he was once the hottest guy on the market. So that's kind of disappointing. My hope, I guess, now is that we are able to get him on an affordable contract. Hopefully he likes playing here and would take like a semi discount to be able to retire in Vancouver if he loves the city, if he likes his teammates, you know, if he's got a vision of where the coaching's or the team's going. Apparently the Aquilinis are ready to put money into the building for upgrades. So
no way.
Yeah, I think what's his name there demanded it, president of ops.
Oh,
or is he the president? What's his name? Why can't I think of his name? Zach, help me out. You know everybody.
Sorry, I'm sorry, I had a long day at work. I don't know who is our president of hockey ops.
Jim Rutherford. Jim Rutherford.
Oh, Rutherford.
Yeah, oh, right. I always associate him with the GM, but that's Alvin.
Me too.
Alvin's the GM. Yeah.
Just because, yeah, I think of him as the Penguins GM.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did too.
And he was like interim GM for a short period when everyone got fired.
Yeah.
So anyways, I think he kind of really pushed the Aquilinis to commit to upgrading the stadium, the arena, the facilities, saying like, look, the building's old now, right? If you look at places like Edmonton,
that's so funny to say, because, yeah, it? Like, it is.
Yeah. It is. It is weird, but it's true. Like Edmonton, there's their arena. Like everyone wants to go play in Edmonton, right? Yeah. Or like any player would want to go play in those facilities and get all the highest technology of recovery equipment and all this and that. So to attract talent, to attract players, to make players like JT Miller want to sign at maybe a lesser value, he needs a commitment. He needs to know that the facility is going to be good for him. He needs to know that the city is going to be good for him, the fans, the team's going to have his back, his teammates, which, you know, wasn't that long ago we were wondering, do JT Miller and Bo Horvat have beef? Like, is there conflict of leadership in the dressing room? Yeah. Right. Still, we don't know. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it all unfolds. I am a bit nervous, to be honest. I think we did miss the deadline as much as I don't want to trade him. I really, really don't. I think if we were to, it would have been on draft day or before when he was really hot.
Well, I think a lot of people are having the same issues that the Canucks are, is that, you know, you're faced with the task of having 1 year left on a 29-year-old asset, and he's looking long-term.
Year.
I agree. Like, look, this isn't taking anything away from Miller, but it's an awkward age to sign a big ticket long-term contract. You know what I mean? And that's what he's looking for. And
has it been confirmed that he's looking for 8 years?
I haven't read that.
I heard talks of that. The length is one of the bigger things that the Canucks didn't want. And I'm not taking that this is 100%, but one of the insider sources I was reading that he wanted something on the longer side. He wanted more of a commitment. So I think that is something that they're trying to deal with. But yeah.
Because any team signing for him, like, they're going to be weighing, you know, what their offer is going to be versus how long they're going to have, you know, Miller at his peak and, you know, what they're going to do. Are they going to be able to re-sign him? What are his asking costs? Like, all of that's going to be factored into what type of assets you're willing to give up to get him, right? Like, I've heard a lot of comparisons to, you know, well, let's see what Matthew Tkachuk just hauled in, but Tkachuk is young. He hasn't even technically hit his prime yet.
No.
And when you are trading for him, like, you're going to get him at a long-term, you know, that, you know, him getting whatever it was, 9.5 million per year, like you're going to get value out of that deal, right? That's going to bring him to what, 31, 32 at the end of that contract. Like, he's still going to be producing. It's going to be worth it. Whereas Miller, you're looking at, you know, if it is a full term 8 years or even 7 years, you're looking at 36, 37 years old.
Yeah.
Right. No. So I just think it's tough.
There's no way. It's such a Louis comparison, is it not?
Though? Four to 6 years. 6 years would be absolute high end. And even if he's got to remember too, if he makes it to next trade deadline or even to free agency, he's going to be another year older. He's going to be 30 plus, right? I don't know. I don't know when his birthday is, but
I would be comfortable with him at 4 times 9.5. Like, if he's looking to try to get more money per year, then 4 times 9.5. But now he's looking at, what would that be, a $38 million ticket? Or you sign him for, you know, again, like, let's say 8 years at, let's say 7 mil, you know, I don't think that's realistic, but even 8 times 8, he could sign for $64 million. The cap's going to go up. Like, I would be more comfortable giving him in around that 7.5 to 8 for the full 8 years, knowing that you're probably going to buy out the last 2 years, as opposed to, you know, he's going to be guaranteed more money. But I don't think that he's willing to go that low on a longer term contract. And I think that's where the sticking points are.
Yeah. But look, I've got it here. So March 14th is his birthday. He's 29. So that means by the next free agent market, he's going to be 30 years old.
Yeah.
I don't see anyone on the free agent market signing him to an 8 year contract.
I don't either, but I think that's where kind of the sticking point is coming in, whether he wants a higher AAV or if he just wants longer term, more guaranteed money. But yeah, because 4 times 9.5, I'd be signing him right now, but then he's obviously going to be going in at 33, 34 years old and then trying to negotiate a new contract. And, you know,
from East Palestine, Ohio. Interesting.
Hockey hotbed.
There you go. He has no trade, right? Right? He has no trade contract clause?
I don't think so. I don't think there's any trade protection on Miller.
I don't think so. I think I would have heard of that by now.
Yeah, I guess so. I would have talked about
it. Someone would have talked about it, yeah.
Well, here's my one devil's advocate to that. Yes, the longer the season goes on, the older he's going to get, the closer to free agency, the less amount. Once you go to a rental type stage, obviously that amount kind of drops down. But hypothetically, if he comes out, produces, has a good season, you know, on pace for, say, another 100-point year, and we can trade him with them, like whoever we trade to, he wants to trade, or he wants to go to wherever we trade him and can sign on that trade, you know, our main sign extension with that team. I still think that he will hold some type of value. And even maybe almost as much as he was prior to free agent, if he's put up another career year, I think the big question mark is if he can do it again, right? For other teams. It's a 1 year thing, right? You go in, all these guys, you know, 80 points, 80 points, 75 points, boom, 100 points or 99 points, right? Eddie is getting older, so I don't know. I don't know if his values aren't dropped too much as much as these people are saying, as long as he comes out and produces.
Yeah. Well, I guess
I think he's going to produce.
Yeah. I think so too. That's what I'm not too worried about.
Well, he'll be producing for a contract if it's, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't come to terms before the season, I don't see us coming to terms after it.
No, I mean trade value. I'm talking trade value here, right? So, like, I don't think his trade value is going to decrease as much as people think it will if he does, comes out and puts up another 100-point season or on pace for, right? And they see him doing it again.
But what, we don't. There is no trade value. He'll be a free agent
before then. We have him to the trade guideline.
Yeah, but what team's gonna give us something, like give up a ton of prospects for a player who's only got 3 months left on their contract?
Someone that wants to win the cup.
He will be a valuable rental only, well, not only because, but in large part due to his cap hit, right? Like he's only at, I think, 5.25.
It's a steal.
Yeah, it is a steal.
Like,
yeah.
So people can give it away to try to build their team, right? Like, put JT Miller on fucking Tampa, right? Back in Tampa,
he's massively, massively underpaid right now. And I mean, at a prorated deal, if you're trading at the trade deadline, like he's going to fit into just about any contender's salary cap picture. So, he'd be a high value rental, but still, you're not getting the same. Like you guys are both kind of talking about, you're not going to get that same trade value on a rental as you would for somebody who's going there long term. They're going to be built into that team's future and. It'll be interesting. I mean, I hope he does resign. I really love him in Vancouver. I love what he brings to the team. He's kind of he plays all four corners of the ice. I don't know. He seems to be kind of the engine of that offense. He has been the last couple of years, and I don't know. I hope that he does resign, but it's obviously got to be something that makes sense moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So let's move to, so do you guys want to go to Mikheyev again, or are we happy with him skating as
fast? I want to go to Lazar. Later?
Okay. I'll go then Lazar. We'll move to Lazar. And
I'm fucking pumped.
Yeah. Canucks fans yearly ritual of just going bananas over our fourth line.
Yeah.
Hey, the fuck's wrong with that? Hey, man, I like Lazar. No, I have to trade for him to put me on the Canucks every fucking year in NHL 22. All right, so
really,
I pick him up every year because he's like fucking 750,000, and he's a fourth liner grinder. You can put the puck in the net in the game at least.
I was gonna say the one thing that worries me before you go on Bartel. Now it doesn't show me block shots here. I understand he's a shutdown forward, but he's got 70 games played. 8 goals, 8 assists, 16 points, minus 2, 16 PIMs. The hell the guy do? For 70 games.
Yeah, but that's easy to look at stats, right? Like, I mean, you don't know how many hits he laid to change the game, right?
That's right.
There's
a lot
of other stats that
I don't see hits. That, right? I don't see hits. I don't see block shots. So
We'll see. I don't know. I'm pumped on him. Yeah, I know you're not, but I know.
I'm excited.
I think he's going to be a lot of that type of spark plug that we kind of need. He knows his role. He's an ex top 15 pick, but he knows he can't score at that level. So he plays the role. He's a BC kid. He wants to be here. You know what I mean? Like, it's a wicked deal at $1 million for whatever, 3 or 4 years. I think he's a very underrated, under radar player that we will see to produce for his value, right? Like, he's a $1 million player. We're going to get $1 million out of him.
He used to have a ton of potential. Like, I remember when he got drafted to Ottawa, when he played for Team Canada, he was quite impressive in the World Juniors. And he was, you know, there's a huge hype around him when he went to Ottawa. I remember following him a bit. Like, I remember when, who was the goalie? They called him the Hamburglar.
Andrew Hammond from White Rock.
And they kept throwing like McDonald's burgers on the ice. Yeah, and Lazar would always pick him up and eat him as he's skating off the ice. It's awesome, like, man. That's my memory of Curtis Lazar. So I mean, he's obviously a locker.
That's a beauty. That's a fucking beauty right there. All right. Yeah. Cheeseburger. You don't waste cheeseburgers. Who the fuck wastes cheeseburgers?
Yeah, obviously a locker room guy. So yeah, no, I'm excited about it, Bartel. I think it's a great pickup, and I think it will be a great addition to our fourth line.
Do I think he's gonna be a Tyler Mott? No.
Depth.
But
yeah, that'd be nice.
I miss him.
Yeah,
I do agree with you though. Like, I think the fact that he is a BC kid, I think that could play into it. Like, I like the pickup. I'm not ragging on it. Mm-hmm. It's funny because in Vancouver we always pick apart the fourth line for whatever reason. Like, it's like, oh, this is gonna be it. Like, it's just funny to me. But I do like the pickup. I think it's a good, you know, $1 million times 3 years, and he's. Mm-hmm. I think
he's still 27 or 26, right? He's
He's 27, and that's what I'm talking about is like the age range that they're starting to pick guys up. And it's no longer like 18, 19, 20 year olds. It's like, no, we're looking at guys who are kind of mid-career. They're hungry for it. Like, we're changing kind of the dynamic of the team. And I like that direction, that they're more, it's the win now mode, right? It's not win in a couple of years. It's no, we're going to win now.
Yeah, I really agree with you actually there.
So on that note, let's talk about our roster before we wrap it up. So according to Daily Faceoff, which is my go-to for everything, last updated July 13th, Daily Faceoff projected lineup. So line one up the middle, we have, how do you guys want to do this? Do you want to go up the middle or do you want to go line by line? Like, or do you want to
go line by line? I said we go line by line. Projection lines, right?
Yeah, projected lines. So line one at center, JT Miller with Elias Pettersson and Brock Besser on his flanks, left and right wing, respectively.
649.
Yeah, the 649 line, Lotto. Line number two looks good. Bo Horvat with Connor Garland on the left and Andre Kuzmenko on the right. Line three, also pretty a quick line, looks like it. Jason Dickinson in the center. Hopefully he can have a better season than he did last year. He started to perform under Bruce Boudreau. And I like the way he looked under Brucey. So we've got Dickinson with Pod Colson on the left and Mikheyev on the right. And then line four will be Lazar, Tanner Pearson, and Nils Höglander.
There aren't as many Russians since Barry McGillney, man.
Hey, and Kuzmenko's wearing 96 too.
That's actually something I wanted to bring up about. I know kind of Gaudette kind of fucked that one up with us, but what do you guys think of Kuzmenko wearing the 96 and obviously being from Russia?
Mm-hmm.
See what cool. you can do. I mean, that's a big footsteps to fill, right? So,
do you think he did it on purpose?
Oh, fucking for sure, man. He's Russian. 100%.
He knew what he was doing.
Oh, I love his. He's like a god over there. He like does like the Russian Olympic team, like not Olympic, maybe does Olympic, but I know he does like the junior teams and stuff. Like, he's still huge into like the Russian Hockey Federation.
I loved his lemon story. Did you guys hear that when he got here? They asked him if he wanted a water, like when he got to the arena or something. He's like, yeah, and the agent said he likes lemons or whatever, and they didn't have any for him. So when they went out, him and the agent, as a joke to like troll the Canucks organization, they bought a bag of lemons and they brought it to the arena and gave it to him.
Really?
Yeah, but of course, when they showed up, there was a huge bowl of lemons on the table waiting.
They're already prepared.
So they prepared for him, but he trolled them at the same time, and I thought that was really funny. Shows his character a bit. Yeah,
Murray's one of my favorite players, man.
The first thing that jumps out at me about this lineup is that down the wings, we're pretty stacked. Like, I mean, obviously Kuzmenko is a little bit of a a wild card just because we haven't seen him in NHL action. But I mean, even just seeing Hoglander pushed down to the fourth line, like that almost feels like unfair to him. I know he's younger, but he's, that kid's a little truck. Like, I love seeing him play. I love the way that he plays. He's a solid, solid player. Like, he's, he doesn't get pushed around despite the fact that he's a bit shorter. But down the wings, we're looking pretty deep. And if Pettersson could learn how to take a face off, like, we'd also be really deep down the center too. But it's just, it's interesting to me. Cause even like, I don't see Tanner Pearson honestly lasting in the, on our NHL squad at the wing right now, just cause we've got a lot of competition there.
He is getting older. Liner, I'll take him all day.
Oh, look, I love Tanner Pearson. That isn't saying anything bad about him. I'm just thinking that, you know, the team, the tempo is going to be pretty high. The speed's going to be up there. I don't know if he's going to be keeping up with that anymore. I like him as a fourth liner. I like him as a player, but there's I don't know, this team, like the wings look pretty good down the center. Again, top two lines are pretty solid with Miller and Horvat. Hopefully Horvat can re-sign too.
What? There's no, you know who I don't see here is Sutter. What happened to him? Long COVID. And
he retired.
Yeah.
He retired.
He retired. Yeah. He's done.
Yeah.
The one person that we haven't really talked about that has had their name talked around in trades is Garland.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you guys think of that?
No way. I love Garland. I love
him. I know you do. I know you're a big fan of him. He's a small guy. Still?
Of course, yeah.
He's a small guy.
That's why I like but him.
Okay, Zach, do you think there's a huge difference between Hoglander and Garland?
I do think so.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Mainly in just experience. But yeah, I do think that Garland brings
and
like
grit.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, like, and I mean, it's not saying anything that Hoglander is Swedish, but the fact that Connor Garland can really dig under people's skin too, like you see it, like he chirps, he rips into guys, right? And I don't think Hoglander's got that in his repertoire, right? But yeah. I like that part of the game that Garland brings to
his mouthpiece.
Yeah, like he has that edge, and it's more than just a physicality thing, because obviously he's not a physical force out there, but he's able to get into the other team's heads.
But that's what I think Lazar can do for us. I feel like he'll be able to play that role really well as that Jarkko Ruutu. You know what I mean? Like, you really, I always sucked. I don't think I've even looked him up before in my life. But I mean, probably better than Lazar, but they also have that little factor, right? Like, he only have 50 hits, but if all 50 of those hits he's Scott Steven people, right? Like, that's gonna bring some type of fear, right? So
And to me it's more just like, because you know, the annoying thing, like, think about any time we've played sports, like the guy that drives you the most crazy is somebody who can produce and still lips you off. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why when I look at it, like, I don't know if I...
Sorry? True sense here.
like there's guys who they'll light you up and then they'll still lip you off, and that drives you the most nuts. And Garland has that potential, right? Like, he's got that a bit of offensive flair. It's the same with, it's why Marchand is the biggest rat in the league. He'll absolutely light it up and he'll lip you off, right? Like, that's why I don't know if there's, I don't put as much weight in kind of like a fourth line guy who will lip you off, because it's like, just sit on the bench, buddy. You're going to be out for 6 minutes tonight. Like, who cares? But somebody like Connor Garland, like, he brings that different aspect. And I think that's why it's kind of tough to
second compare line
him to a fourth liner, because he's going to be playing, you know, 17 to 20 minutes a night and still lipping you off for all 20 of those minutes. So,
Okay. Let's move on to defensive core.
Skip over this.
Let's go to our best contract on the team besides JT Miller. Demko, baby.
Yeah, so this is where we definitely need our biggest upgrade. We've got Quinn Hughes on the left, Luke Shen on the right for the first defensive pairing, OEL on the left, and Myers on the right for the second defensive pairing, and Derma and Pullman rounding out the bottom three. So Pullman. Not much to talk about there. We need some help on the right side. Definitely.
Well, Rafferty, do you guys think he has a chance of making it up this year?
No idea, to be honest.
No idea. I hope he does, man. I know this is like, I'm kind of a big fan of Jet Wu. I know he hasn't done anything, but for some reason I like him. But this is like his year to come out too.
I like it too.
His last name's Wu. Like, that's literally hockey iconic. Like, yeah. You go to any hockey game, it's woo!
Yeah, exactly.
He's just pumped. There was cheer for him. But I'm a huge fan of him. I hope he can maybe break into the NHL this year as well. So we do have a couple of young guys down there that might be able to take Pullman's spot, hopefully.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not even that worried about Pullman. It's more, you know, like Luke Shen brings a solid, formidable game, but he's not a one. Yeah, he's not a 1D. Like, and that to me is kind of the biggest thing, because I actually like that second pairing. Yeah, I mean, the AAV is a bit high on it, but Ekman-Larsson and Tyler Myers, that's a solid pairing in the NHL, especially for your second line D. But Quinn Hughes, I mean, like, it, just imagine, and I know this is just thinking back, but imagine if Hughes was still with, why am I forgetting his name now? Went Edler? To Calgary.
No, oh, wow.
Tanev.
Yeah, just because, like, Hughes and Tanev is a perfect pairing, right? Because Tanev's just that safety blanket. But that would be, if we had Tanev slotted in instead of Shen, now we're not really looking so weak on the back end. Mm-hmm, but obviously, that's a different story. But I think we could use a bit of help on the right side, more of a stay-at-home defender again. Not that Shen isn't that. It's just that Shen isn't a number.
He's not that at one. He's not that.
He doesn't add to the offense at all, right? He doesn't break passes at all.
I'm just saying he doesn't really need to. I mean, he's
no, but
that's my view.
The thing is, on defense, and I think like we should all do it, like they should be able to have some breakout passes. You need to be able to find your D-man in certain situations and know exactly where they are, where your head down, right? And Luke Shen can't move the puck like that. He plays other games, but that little passes that you can get between two guys that can like play make, right? Or have like even Tanev, right? They can make those little tic-tac-toe plays and kind of have that offensive ability, which, as much as Hughes is offensive, I think we're away from a defensive with an offensive. I think that's a lot of old school mentality. I think everyone needs to be able to move the puck, right? It's not NBA basketball where you have Shaq in front of the net. He can't shoot the puck, shoot a ball for his life, right? Now in NBA, everyone needs to shoot the puck, right? Or shoot the ball. Sorry, I'm getting confused. But I feel like that's something that how our defense is kind of changing. Like what Bobby Orr did back then, we need what Cale Makar's doing now, right? Is that everyone needs a little bit of offense to them. And I think the Luke Shens of the league are dying out.
It's funny that you said, because like I do tend to agree, especially if you look at like Makar with Devon Taves, like both of those guys can move the puck, both of them. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's also kind of a unicorn as far as when you're looking around the league at D pairings. But it's funny because I kind of tend to disagree. Like, I think that having an anchor like Tanev with Hughes would, like, it just frees Hughes up to be more offensive, right? Like, you could look at it as they need to be paired up and they need to be able to pass it back and forth. But Hughes can drive a breakout by himself from the back end. And if he's got a safety blanket with him, that allows him to be more freewheeling. So I think, but I mean, again, Hughes isn't your common D-man either, right? Hughes, Makar, they're kind of their own animals, like what they can do offensively. And so with those guys, I actually think that it can be beneficial to have somebody who's purely a defensive specialist, because it frees them up to do a lot more, and them by themselves can drive a rush with the other three offensive players. And I don't know, to me that's the way I look at it. Like, I'd be fine with him, you know, because like Tanev doesn't do much offensively either. I don't know if you've ever seen him shoot a puck, but it's,
I'm not talking about shooting. I'm talking about first passes and breakout passes, right? You need to be a good shooter to make a good breakout pass.
But even then, Tanev isn't known for that either, but he was a perfect pairing because he allowed Hughes to free wheel, and he would cover up for any defensive lapses that Hughes had.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying as well, Bartel. I'd agree with you more so throughout the lineup, not on the first defensive pairing. I think I'm with Zach on the first defensive pairing, but I'm with you on the rest of the lineup. Like, I think that we need those puck moving defensers through like second and third liners. But the first liner, it would be nice if we could slot Shen down to that fourth line and pick up a solid.
That's the third line? Yeah.
Third line, and then a Tanev for the first. That would have been nice. But anyways, I'm going to burn through power play units, and there's actually penalty kills here as well, potentially. And then we'll talk about the goalies, and that should be it for today, boys. We are at,
sounds good.
We're at an hour plus. So boom, flew by. I love it.
Oh yeah.
Including our 30 minute blooper reel. So, okay. So PP1, left wing, Bo Horvat up the middle, Elias Pettersson. Hopefully he can learn how to take faceoffs, as Zach said. Brock Besser on the right side, JT Miller on the right point and Quinn Hughes on the left point. It's a deadly power play. If that thing can start clicking, it is a deadly power play.
It surprised me that Besser's not on the point and JT Miller's not up.
I think JT Miller's more of a director.
Yeah, like Corbett. You think he quarterbacks?
Like a quarterback. Quinn Hughes on that?
Over Quinn Hughes.
No, Quinn's there. He's on the left side there.
So,
too.
So Quinn would quarterback the power play, right? So usually you want to set up like Brock somewhere on his forehand, like Ovechkin style. Like that's what I would assume. But
yeah, but Brock and Petey are the threat on either side for the one timer.
That's true. Right? Either of them can fucking.
And Horvat fire, so. Horvat sits in the bumper spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just hope he doesn't get hit.
No, he's unreal there. He scores so many goals. The one knee shot. Unbelievable. Okay, so PP number two on the left side, Connor Garland. In the middle, Vasily Podkolzin, Nils Höglander on the right, with OEL on the right side, and Kuzmenko on the left.
I like it. I actually think that's pretty powerful, man.
That's a good 1-2 punch. Depending on how Kuzmenko turns out, if Podkolzin and Höglander can have the same year, hopefully Garland can provide some good grit in there. And OEL is with his veteran, hopefully, presence.
You're not too sure here, Brian.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully this guy could do this, and maybe this guy could do that, and if this guy could do last year, then we might be able to do something.
Look, I mean, you've got Connor Garland on the left side, right, who, as we've talked about, he's gritty, he's grindy. You know, he might need strong power play teammates. I don't know. I mean, Podkolzin showed a lot of signs of life last year, as did Höglander, but they're both very young.
Yeah.
Kuzmenko is a big question mark still, and OEL is OEL, right? He's not bad, but he's
OEL. But he's and not, he said it perfectly.
Yeah, right. So there's a lot of question marks on that second unit, I think, but there's potential as well.
Mm-hmm. It's nice that Höglander's up there. He deserves to be.
Yeah, I agree. Zach, do you want to comment on that before I go to PK? Or
no, I mean, I know I said it last year, but I really do think, like, especially that first PP unit, like, and then adding in, you know, a guy like Kuzmenko and Podkolzin another year in with Garland on that second line, like, I do think they have absolutely the potential to be a top five power play unit in the league. Like, they've got a lot of killer instinct on both of those lines. It would surprise me. Okay, it would surprise me if they were out of the top seven this year, because they've just got the firepower to it with Bruce Boudreau would being with them all year. I definitely expect a lot out of this power play this year.
Zach's bold statement preseason right now, top seven in power play. Remember this shit, boys. Write that shit down.
I actually think it'll be top five. I'll count it as a failure. He's giving himself below a buffer out of the top room seven. Here. Oh no, I'm tightening it. I'm saying top five.
Yeah,
you're I'm saying top five. I'd say I'll be upset if it's below the top seven, but I would expect top five.
Shit.
There you go, Barker.
Well, I'll give you top seven. I'll give you top seven. That's our power play, though. I already talked about power play.
Yeah, that's power play.
Yeah, and I already talked about it. You said Bartel.
Oh, sorry.
There's that. Zach was the last one.
Yeah, sorry. My brain's still mush from the weekend, boys. Today we got home last night on the ferry at midnight.
Oh shit!
Our last 10 kilometers was yesterday. Yeah. Oh yeah, I worked today.
Fuck that. Yeah. You're an animal, bro.
Yeah. So
I'd rather get punched in the ring for 15 minutes than fucking do what you just did. So
yeah. So anyways, PK units. So this is a bit surprising for me. It's quite interesting. It's very interesting, actually. So Lazar beside Mikheyev and Oliver Ekman-Larsson and Tyler Myers. So two brand new pickups leading the first unit, according to Daily Faceoff. Second unit, Jason Dickinson and Tanner Pearson, with Quinn Hughes and Luke Shen. Scary having Hughes on the penalty kill unit, but
he's growing up. Right. Hopefully, you can.
I don't want that guy blocking shots. I don't care how grown up he gets.
You're right. I instantly retract my statement. Put Pullman in there. Fuck it. Yeah. Take
shots. Eat pucks, Pullman.
All right, Pullman, go out there, buddy.
Cool. Yeah. So then finally we have goaltenders. So I'll give you one guess as to who the starting goaltender might be.
Are we going with
best goalie in the West?
Yeah, Alex Wall, baby.
Thatcher Demko. What was I calling him? Wasn't I giving him a nickname that you said was
the Demkinator? Yeah, that's right. So the Dominator.
Yeah.
That was a year ago.
He had a great season, so I'm still standing by it.
I love Demko.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think he'll be backed up by Spencer Martin, which
huge upgrade.
That I'm not a big fan of, but
go ahead.
It's only because, like, I know Demko is not young still, but I still like the idea of having a veteran backup in that.
I was gonna say,
just somebody who, you know, if the season starts to go off the rails a little bit, or, you know, Demko has a run of bad games, 3-4 games, you can throw a vet in there. Like,
or having someone to talk to.
Yeah, exactly.
Ian Clark, guys.
I know they have Ian Clark. And look, I'm not saying anything bad about Spencer Martin. I thought he played great last year. I like him as a goalie.
Yeah, he did.
I just don't know.
What has he fucking done to deserve you guys' hate?
Nothing.
Nothing.
He's just not old enough.
This isn't anything against Spencer Martin. It's only, like, I like to see when you've got a relatively younger kind of workhorse as your starter. I like seeing a veteran guy, somebody who can just come in, you know, cold when he needs to. And, you know, he's got the headspace. There's no, nothing's going on up there that, you know, you're worried about. So to me, I'd still like to see Demko with a veteran backup, but Spencer Martin played well last year. I think he's going to play well this year. It'll just be interesting to see how he plays, you know, kind of playing mop up duty.
So I retract some of my statement. I thought he was younger than what he really is.
He's
26
or 27.
He's
27.
Yeah,
yeah,
he's not young.
He's
not young. He should be a fucking main guy that we run off of.
That's what I meant. That's what I was going to say. I didn't mean he was young as in, like, age. Well, I did. And not realizing how old he actually was. But what I really meant, it was experience, like you say, Zach. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, 27 is still quite young for a goaltender. Usually they don't hit prime till 30.
Unless you're a freak, like, alarm off or something.
So... yeah, I mean, that is a little worrisome, like you say, Zach, but I don't know. I've never really checked out his stats.
I mean, I'm not worried about Demko. Demko, I'm not worried about. Like, for me, that guy proved himself so well to us. I think our goalie core is fucking stacked and probably one of the best young goalies in the league. Our depth is just insane.
I agree with you.
Yeah, like, it's really up there. We have some really good prospects coming up. I know we opened up to our DiPietro to shop for trades. If we're just giving him up, like, we might have some depth down there, right? So I'm not too worried. I kind of want to see what Spencer Martin can do. He's been around. Obviously, he hasn't played too many games, but, I mean, he's played in Colorado. He's played where else? There's another team he played for, too, right? There's only a couple of games. But I like him. He's played well. And I think Demko and Ian Clark's a bona fide best goaltender coach in the league. We'll be able to shape these guys up. And I think he can keep his head straight. I don't think Demko, I'm not worried about him. He's the last person I'm fucking worried about our team. I don't know. I'm way more worried about our defense.
Oh, I'm not worried about him either. I agree.
Yeah. Like, him playing, I don't think he should play as many games. I do like the aspect of having an older guy, but I will say to your comment, Zach, that older guys can come in cold. I don't know about that, man, because Halak sure as fuck couldn't. And maybe that's just one, but I think a lot of times these younger guys get that energy and they're younger. They get the blood going, right? They can, they're more nimble. Where a lot of these older guys might need to be able to warm up or have an opening. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe sit on the bench for two periods and might freeze him up.
He might know that if he plays really well, that he could get a couple starts in a row. Mm-hmm.
To me, it's just like, and I know the contract isn't a big deal. He's $762,000 per year, but he has 9 NHL games, guys.
Yeah.
6 of them were last year.
Yeah.
Like, to me,
they were good.
I'm not saying they weren't.
A small sample size. I'm just being a dick.
Yeah. I'm not saying they weren't. Just to me, like, if you're running a year-long goaltending tandem, I want a bit more experience. I mean, between our two goalies, I think we have something like 150 NHL games. And I'm not worried about Demko either. If I'm looking at at my backup goaltending depth, I want more than 9 games, and I want my 2 goalies to have played more than 150 NHL games.
Are you worried of Demko going down?
No, I'm not. I'm not actually worried about Demko at all. It's just
our starting moral goalie is Spencer Martin. And is that worrisome to you?
Spencer Martin, yeah, he worries me.
That is to me too. That is to me.
Yeah, Spencer Martin worries me as a backup. It's not the dynamic that I would have built in. But again, who am I? I'm working in fucking Fox Vegas right now.
Yeah, but that's the whole fucking point of this podcast.
That's a good point. But to me, I would have somebody with more than 9 games backing up my my young stud starter.
Yeah.
You make it sound really bad. I was a little hyped. I feel like this is roles reversed now. Like, you guys were all pumped at the game last season. I was kind of being a little bit downer. Now I'm getting a little pumped up. You guys were on though.
No, I am pumped.
Oh, that's not that good. I can't be the fuck's these Russians. He might not play good. I don't know. Garland, fucking stud.
Love Garland. Love that guy. Give him the C.
Give him the C.
Get off this podcast right now.
All right, boys. On that note, oh, geez, what did I just do? You disappeared. Just fucked it up. Can you still hear me?
I can still hear you. I can still see you.
Okay, great. So on that note, let's wrap her up. Great pod. Thank you very much.
What I need to do on the weekend.
Stick around for the upcoming blooper reels if you want to hear more about Steve's amazing adventure this weekend. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you get the old notification when we have a new podcast, because it might not happen every week. We're not sure. So far, we're on a roll, 2 for 2.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that, Andrew.
Yeah.
You made it work.
Yeah, last
pulled a rabbi's ass here for you guys. So
yeah, next week, boys. What do you think? What are the odds?
I'm here.
Zach, you're still in Fox Vegas, so pretty good or what?
Yeah, I will be. Actually, I'll be in Grand Prairie, but yeah, I'll be on the road, so I'll be good.
Nice.
Awesome. I'll have a great story next week. By the way,
cool.
He's gonna be live in from the strippers, so
it'll be worse.
Quarters nice and hot.
And it'll be worse going. Than that. It'll be worse okay. than that. I promise. Oh God.
That's exciting. I can't wait. All right. So everybody tune in next week. Don't forget, hit that subscribe button. And also, what was I going to say? I got to cut this out. I just lost. This is where my brain's at, boys. I was going to say, next week. Yeah. We're going to talk about World Juniors. So I will do some research on that because I'm not too well versed, but I would love to talk about it. I'd like to see what our roster mm-hmm. looks like, what the competition looks like, and get pumped for the tournament. So.
Hockey in fucking August, boys.
Yeah.
Woo.
Nice. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. You boys have a good night.
You too.
Peace out.
I'm in Fox Creek, a.k.a. Fox Vegas, baby, in the middle of northern Alberta. We got
cocaine, nothing. Hookers, and fucking casinos. Woo!
I don't know. There's probably like 700 guys in this town and maybe 10 chicks. So it's,
they're all strippers. unless you've got some off-the-record stuff you want to say.
Oh, fuck. No, no. It's just, my nose is a little fucking, man. I got like, one guy grabbed my arm here. And then, like, fucking another bouncer trying to get my other arm.
What are you doing getting into fights, man?
Like, bouncer's being outside dick. The ring. What the fuck he's doing?
You're old, man.
Three bouncers.
You're way old. Too old for that, Bartel.
Like, man, we're all old. Oh, what a night.
Yeah, and then I woke up in my Gordo's house, and some Gordo came outside, and fucking some random chick on his couch, and I was sleeping with some chick in my bed.
Like, better remember,
Bartel. Sounds like you were definitely sober. You weren't.
Yeah, I don't remember what happened.
Yeah,
this sounds like Thursday night. This whole episode is gonna just be a blooper reel. Like, we might.
I think so.
We'll have a 20-minute blooper reel at the end of this episode.
What's shitty though is like, I should probably take it out soon. I mean, it'll never happen, but if we ever monetize this podcast, there's rights.
I can't say rape?
No, on the circus. Fuck's sake. On the circus song I use at the end.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we'd have to pay out. If we ever made money on this podcast. Yeah, we'd have to either delete every episode with that sound, or I don't know how that would work.
I'll sing it.